it was Paul who was writing to Timothy. Now, the scripture is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. So 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Confronting my greatest fear. What have you been learning? I do have some people behind the scene, and I hope they're all ready. They're just popping now. Tell us one thing, two things, three things they've been learning this month as we just engage this discussion. Before I bring them on, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Father, we just thank you. As we open your word again, open our understanding. Address our fears as you send your word of healing. As you send your word, let your word never return to you void. Let your word accomplish what you please. Let your word bring rest, anchor to that troubled soul. Let your word deliver us from all our fears as we seek you once again. And Lord, every question, any high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, every imagination, every thought, every stronghold, we pray, Lord, bring that all will be brought down, brought low, brought into captivity to the obedience of your word. Because your word in 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us that you have not given us the spirit of fear. You have given us the spirit of love, that is the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and a sound mind. And Lord, that is our prayer tonight. Everyone watching this, joining this, or listening to the recorded broadcast, Lord, in place of the spirit of fear, let the spirit of fear be cast out. Whatever fear it is, fear of the unknown, whatever the greatest fears are, which you have been addressing in our lives, in its place, everyone receive power, receive love, and a sound mind in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, Paul was reminding Timothy that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, if you stop on that word given, you know, it's also where you look at it, the word gift comes from. When something is given to you, it's offered to you, I realize, and if you will agree with me, you have the choice to accept or not to accept it. I mean, have you given someone a gift before and they declined? Oh, I've seen that many times. And, you know, I can tell you it hurts when you offer a gift and people just decline. Some people will decline politely and some people will just, you know, they can't be bothered. Sorry, keep your gift. I don't need your gift. You know? So when there's an offer, like in law, it is only when there's an acceptance that legally it becomes a binding contract. So God has not given us the spirit of fear. So then why do we fear? And then also in this scripture, you see that fear is a spirit. What does that mean? You know, I try to break things down, make it simple, because we have young people also. When you hear the word spirit, it's not a ghost. You know, the word spirit, when you hear spirit, is just unseen, you know, invisible. You know, another word for spirit in another place is breath. You know, it's just spirit, the unseen. So, you know, when you look at fear, it's not like something has happened, but we are fearing something will happen. So God has not given us that kind of unseen, invisible thought, invisible torment, because fear has torment. It torments us. So if God has not given us, that means we received it elsewhere. And we've been looking at so many things that create fear. If you follow the study, we started from, you know, the first Thursday in this month of September, that's rounding up tomorrow, this weekend, you know, God has not given us. So there are different things we fear. But then we've been confronting, we've been addressing the greatest fear. Not an occasional fear, But that reoccurring fear, that thing you greatly fear, that keeps coming to you, oh, I pray this doesn't happen. I hope this doesn't happen. And every time you think about it, you are tormented. You are seriously in distress. That's what we've been looking at. So God has not given us something that will torment us, something unseen. You know, fear, like some people define, false evidence appearing real when you, you know, do the acronym F-E-A-R. It's unseen, but then it's like it's real. So it's tormenting. But then look at it. So how did we get it? That means we received it. So if we can receive it, we can reject it. That's just where I'm going. So by the grace of God, by reason of this word you've been hearing, reject every form of fear. And how do we reject it? We've shared some principles. But then you can also speak to your fears. But what do you speak to your fear? You speak the truth about the word of God. You're looking at what you fear from the perspective of what God says about that thing. That was where we summarized the summary of from last week, especially. You know, we looked at David confronting a Goliath. We looked at the way Goliath was seen by the whole of the armies of Israel. The way Goliath was seen, the truth they knew about Goliath, the truth that Saul knew about Goliath. He's a warrior. He's a champion. He's been, you know, he's battle tested. He's been a champion. He's been, you know, in the army from his youth. That was the truth he knew about Goliath. He's 8 foot tall. He's a giant. He's taller than everybody. You can't fight him. You can't confront him. You know, a self-limiting, defeated attitude concerning Goliath. But that's the truth. Those were the facts they knew about Goliath. But then David could see the same Goliath, this time from God's perspective. And how did he see him? He saw him as an uncircumcised Philistine, a Philistine who does not have a covenant with God, a Philistine, an enemy of God. And you know what? David acknowledged in his statement in that one Samuel 17 we studied last week, that no, he's not coming to fight the Goliath. He's not confronting the greatest fear of Israel through any weapon that is physical or carnal, as the scriptures put it, but through spiritual weapons. And what was the weapon? David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, and told Goliath that's where he's taking the battle to. So how do we overcome this spirit of fear? Three things we see in this scripture. Power, love, sound mind. Where does it come from? It's a gift that we have to receive, that God has offered us. We have to receive it so that we start exhibiting, experiencing, and, you know, using what we have been given. What have we been given? Power. What power? Power from God, the power of God. What have we been given? Love. The love of God which passes all knowledge. Through the love of God, we are forgiven. God has loved us. God has shown us mercy. The Bible says God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The love, perfect love, the Bible says cast out fear. Look at it. So that's what God has given us. And then you look at it. When you have power and you have the love of God, your mind is going to be sound. A sound mind. Are you getting me? The Bible even tells us that a sound mind brings physical healing, I'm paraphrasing, to even our flesh, because your mind is sound through the power and the love of God. Right. So let's stop there and let's see. Please type in your questions tonight. We will be looking at the questions people have typed in, and that is it. Yes, Grandma Nekalu joining us all the way from the U.S. of A. Celebrate. We join you in celebrating your lovely, lovely baby, big boy, Ezekwe. Amen. All right. So, quickly, I'm just going to bring three people in the studio up, one after the other. They are just going to tell us what they, one thing, all right, they've learned while we now look at your questions, your participation, your contributions. So, please, all the people behind the scene, can you transport yourself, translate yourself, download yourself, and upload yourself right into the studio, Shindara, Noah, and Sarah. Please, let's welcome them as they join. They're just going to quickly, one thing they've learned, study of the fear of failure, and then I will throw them back into the background. It's bold of them to come unscheduled, unscripted. So who's going first? Can you all say hello?
Hello.
I want you to overcome the fear of coming on online by confronting it. All right. So who's going first? So that once you go first, then you can put yourself back out of the studio. One thing you've learned, or maybe just want to share something you've been through this study or something that's happened to you in recent times. Okay. Yes, anybody can go first. Or do I just speak? All right, let's go clockwise. So that means we're starting with Sarah, and then Shindara, and then Noah.
Good evening, Pastor. Good evening, everyone.
Yes, good evening.
So the question is, what I've learned this month, right?
Or just share something with us about this fair thing. You know, maybe anything that's occurred to you or an experience you've heard.
Okay. One of the things Pastor Oke said during the retreat was about not letting fear allow us from stepping into the great things that God has for us. And I believe the reason why, when we check through the scriptures, the reason why God, you know, there's a scripture that talks about, like, yeah, when you open the scriptures, you always see a scripture as encouraging you, fear not, strong and courageous, things like that. And God understands that we are human, and there's always going to be things that he has asked us to do, and we don't have the courage, maybe because we've seen somebody failed at that thing, and God is calling us to do it, and we're thinking, oh, I'm like a David trying to do what a Goliath should be doing. And what God has been teaching me is that, you know, sometimes even if I think I don't have the capacity to do that thing, he is the one who has given me the word. He's the one who has given me that vision, regardless of how I feel. And just buttressing what Pastor Oke said about not allowing our fears to stop us from the great things that God wants us to achieve. And just me just reminding myself that destinies are tied to me stepping out and stepping into the comfort zone that God wants me to thrive in. So it's just something that God has been teaching me. And also the fact that God is calling me into the great things and not being fearful. And it's just God also growing me and stretching me as well. And even if I think it's not yet time, but it is time with God, even if it appears that it's not yet time with us. So yeah. So not allowing fears to stop us from achieving the things that God has called us to achieve, especially in this season of your lives, because everyone is in different season. Well, personally for me, just not allowing the fear to stop me. So.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Shindara.
So can I go?
What's been your experience? Yeah, listen to Shindara. She listened to you. Don't be scared. When we listen to everybody, then all of you can run.
Okay.
Don't be fearful. Yes, Shindara?
Good evening, Pastor, and good evening, everyone.
Yes, good evening.
So what I've learned is that I should bring my fears out into the open, and I shouldn't just hide my fears, because, like, for example, what Job feared, that happened to him. So I should bring my fears out into the open, and I also tell God about my fears so that he can give me the word and direct me in the steps I should take to avoid that fear.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. You have to bring it, whatever you greatly fear. And that's the way we can confront it. Thank you. That's lovely. Yes, Noah? Are you afraid of me?
No. good evening, everybody. Good evening. One thing that I'm learning, that I have learned over the past month with the theme of coming to fear of failure is, the big word for me is perseverance. And perseverance in the sense of that when you do fail, it's easy to just give up and be like, there's no point in trying again. I've already failed. I feel demoralized, you know, this and that. But part of overcoming the fear of failure is to persevere, and not just to persevere out of your own strength and your own will, but to ask God for his help and his guidance and his grace to help you persevere on through those situations that you seem to be failing. So yeah, I think that's the big thing for me, perseverance.
Yes, thank you, the three of you, for your personal experiences you've shared, and thank you for the contributions. I'm sure people are encouraged, and some people can identify with what you just said. So can I ask the three of you before you go, have you ever failed before?
Yeah, a lot.
Have you failed recently in anything? I'm not going to ask you what it is. Don't be afraid. Yeah, you failed recently.
Yeah.
When we fail, we get up, we confront it, we keep going. All right, thank you, everybody. Let's go. So thank you for joining behind the scene. So please, let's start throwing the questions out now. Please celebrate Shindara, Noah, and Sarah for us. Okay. Now, last week, I want to kick off from the question from last week. Somebody said that, and I love this, you know, declared last week that I am overcoming my greatest fear today in Jesus Christ's name. That's a sure declaration. And thank you for that. And that's what we should learn to also do. We declare that we have overcome our greatest fear. That's one way to confront it. We don't run away from it. We confront it. We speak to whatever the fear is. Because fear is a spirit, and our words are spirit. But then when we speak the word of God is spirit and is life. That's what Jesus said. So somebody said last week, one of their greatest fears is the fear of not making it to heaven. You know, that's a sincere fear. And I'm sure maybe at some point, especially most of us who are on this very sinful, evil earth, might experience such fears once in a while. The fear of not making it to heaven. So how do we overcome that fear? You know, I'm not sure if the media team still has that slide where we highlighted three things, you know, which we can follow in confronting our greatest fear. So that's asking ourselves, you know, two questions, and then the action is the third one. So what do I fear? So for this person, fear of not making it to heaven. Okay, why do I fear not making it to heaven? Maybe you feel you might make a mistake. Maybe you've been tempted. Maybe you find out probably you are falling into temptations and all that. Listen, the Bible says there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Now, let me break that down, you know, because number three says, find out the truth about what you fear. So fear of not making it to heaven. So look at it this way. What is heaven? And what does the Bible say about heaven? Jesus spoke about, you know, I go and prepare a place for you. If Jesus cannot lie, he's prepared a place. Jesus said, continue my word. right? Continue in my word. It says, then you are my disciples indeed. You will know the truth. The truth will make you free. So the truth about heaven, for example, is going to prepare a place for us. He's prepared a place for you. He cannot lie. That place is waiting for you. But then, so I don't miss it, how do I confront it? Okay, number four, confront what you fear and talk about it. That's we did say that. So which is someone has said now. But then look at the love of God. Look at what Jesus said. Look at what the Bible says. It's always the enemy that puts that fear. Oh, you won't make it to heaven. You won't make it to heaven. Oh, I might just do something now, and then I won't make it to heaven at the end of the day. No, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, sound mind. Now, let's look at love. There is no fear in love. What is love? Not a feeling. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, God is love. So just tell yourself, I am in love. I am in God. And once I'm in God, I've got no fear of not making it to heaven. I will not deny God. I will not renounce God. I will always be in God. If I fail, if I fall, if I falter, I will run to God. I will not run away from God. Confront your fears with the truth. Talk about it, but speak the word of the Lord. Look at what God, the truth of what God says about that. So someone said the fear of death, you know, very interesting. You know, I was sharing a story with some people. We had a midnight prayer the other day. Said, I can tell you how I overcame the fear of death. You know, I've shared the story many times, but then I was just confronted with, I'm going to die. I was in a vehicle, crazy driver, driving mad, middle of the night. I wasn't meant to be in that vehicle to start with, because it was a little bit of my disobedience that made me travel very, very late in the night and enter the car with a daredevil driver, you know, on a road, you know, laden with armed robbers, potholes, and anything could happen. So it was just risking my life. So the fear of my disobedience that, yes, I shouldn't even be in this vehicle in the first place, tormented me. And then another fear came that this vehicle is going to collapse. I mean, it's going to run into a pothole, or you're going to be attacked, and the car is going to somersault, and you're going to die. You're going to die. I was in serious torment, fear of death. And the torment went on and on and on and on and on. And all of a sudden, I confronted that fear. A thought came to me. All right, you're going to die. If you die, where are you going? And I remember the word of the Lord. Jesus is my Lord, is my Savior. I've confessed him. I may be in disobedience, be in this vehicle. He's going to prepare a place for me. I'm a child of God. I'm not even denying God, even at the face of death, being confronted with death. So if I die, and I've not renounced my salvation, I'm going to heaven. And at that point, that fear of death left me. That, yes, bring it on. Let me die. Let the car somersault. Let anything happen. In the name of Jesus, if I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm telling you, the fear left me at that point. But you know, this is the miracle that happened. The daredevil driver who was speeding, going at top speed, who was begged, pleaded to stop speeding. All of a sudden, while I was having that conversation with God, suddenly, I don't know what came over him. He calmed down. It was like a spirit left him and started driving like a normal human being and started apologizing to everybody in the vehicle. And we got to our destination late in the night safely. But the truth of the word of the Lord, looking at death from God's perspective, delivered me from the fear of death. Listen, do you know the truth about death? It is appointed unto man. Everyone will die. And after this judgment. So what we should fear is what Jesus said. Don't be afraid of anyone who's going to kill you. Be afraid of the one who can you know, take your life and then throw you inside hellfire. It's when you don't know where you're going. It's when you don't know and you've renounced the salvation, the Lordship of Jesus. So I'm saying this, that someone listening, if you don't know the Lord, this is a good place to repent, to ask for forgiveness, to receive Jesus into your life. And I'm telling you, the Bible says he that Jesus sets free is free indeed, including from the torment of daily fear of death. So receive Jesus and ask him to come into your life, into your heart, and you can confront the greatest fear of death. You know, I shared with us how Jesus himself, what was Jesus' greatest fear? At the Garden of Gethsemane. His greatest fear was the fear of death itself. And he told his father. But before he told his father, he spoke about the fear. He spoke to the people around him. He spoke to the disciples. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. You know, because of time, you know, we're not going to, you know, much scriptures, but you can listen to the previous teachings on this, with the study we did. Jesus confronted him, Matthew 26, 36 to 38, Matthew 26 from 36 to 38, and we see the same story in Mark 14. Jesus spoke to the people around him, expressed his fear, confronted his fear by talking about it. And then the next thing he spoke to his father. If it's possible, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He prayed about the same issue three times. But you see, don't let's miss verse 38, where he first of all spoke to the people around him about his greatest fear. Look at it. Matthew 26, 38. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Even to death. That was Jesus' greatest fear. He confronted it. He spoke about it. He talked about it. He shared it with the people around him, his inner caucus, the Peter, James, and the John, who are the people in your life that you are free to express yourself to. You know, a very good friend of mine, I don't know if he's watching, sent me something, a clip this morning. I said, wow, this is lovely. When I hear messages like that, I try to look at Jesus. You know, it was a preacher who was sharing that in life, there will always be three people, three sets of human beings around you. There are those who are your, you know, those who are, let me get it. I don't want to, don't let me misquote. They all start with C, you know. And I said, let's look at Jesus, okay? Let's look at Jesus. This is my brother, if you're watching. Thank you for sharing that with me this morning. You got me really, really meditating, right? There are those who are your confidants, the people you can tell anything, the Peter, the James, and the John, the ones you are not afraid of showing your nakedness. Look, guys, this is how I'm feeling. Before this Bible study, for example, I told my wife, this is how I'm feeling. Please come and pray for me. You know, my wife is my close confidant. You must have people in your life. You know, and apart from my wife, there are people that I talk to. I have some people, you know, within even the church I pastor, Love Assembly, where we're broadcasting from, the kings and the priests. You know, they know themselves. God bless you all. I come and I express myself, you know, the way I'm feeling. You know, I called one of them maybe one Sunday ago, and I said, look, this is how I'm feeling right now. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Two Sundays ago, I was feeling a bit low in my spirit because it was 1 year anniversary of my dad, and I was having a little bit of some sad moments, you know, recalling things. I called one, two, three of them. Look, this is how I'm feeling. Pray for me. I was about to go on the pulpit and preach. Everybody will see you as the macho. Look at Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The people who looked up to him, he still told them how he felt. You have one, confidence; two, people who are your constituents; and three, your comrades. I'm not going to that message, but thank you, my brother, for sharing it with me. I know you're online. You know, so thank you. So who are your confidants? Who are your constituents? Who are your comrades? Well, your confidants are very important, that they help you to go through your fears. All right. So today, okay, let's quickly now address some questions that people are putting there. I had my BSc degree about 17 years ago, but I still want to go further my studies, but I'm afraid I can make it happen. Beautiful. You've done 1, 2, 3, 4 things we spoke about. How to confront your greatest fears. You've come open with what you're fearing. You're talking about it. And this is also a safe place because we are a church. And of course, even though you are asking anonymously, you are with like-minded people who will pray with you and thank you for sharing it and bringing this out. I'm afraid I can make it happen. Listen, you have confronted that fear. What is the truth about furthering your studies? The truth about it is that, let me tell you, if you had your degree 17 years ago, congratulations, I can relate with you. I had my own degree in 1990, and 18 years after, or in fact, 17 years, so I can relate with you, I went back to uni to do a postgraduate course. What were my fears? My fears were, will I be able to? It's been quite a while. I've been out of that university environment. I confronted it. I told God about it. I shared it. I remembered I had some confidence then. My wife, was there. And I had this brother. And I opened up to him. And he told me, tell me what your fear. I said, well, I'm going back to uni. I've been working all my life for the past 17 years. I've been earning salary. It means my income, salary, everything. I've got family and everything. He let me open up all my fears. And I remember what he told me. You can do it. Go for it. If it's on your heart, go for it. I struggled, and one day I went for it. This was 2007, 2008. I completed the course, and I'm looking back now, 2008 to now. I can talk about it, and I can tell you I overcame that fear. You can make it happen. Remember, through Christ. What's the truth? The truth is you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I remember telling God then, God, if I go through this and I pass this and I can finish it, I will give you the glory, and I know it is not by my power. Did I feel like giving up? Oh, it was. I was warned. I knew what I was signing up for. But God saw me through. We never begged. We never borrowed. God made divine provision. Confront those fears. God bless you, and thank you for sharing that. And somebody says, I'm afraid of dying at a young age. Same thing we've just shared before. The truth about death. Are you a child of God? Are you saved? Do you have Jesus in your heart? Listen, there's a truth in the Bible. You shall live, you shall not die, to declare the glory of the Lord. Listen, you've got an assignment to fulfill. Let me tell you what one of our sisters in the fellowship shared with us one time. It was a question that came to her, okay, what are you living for? I'm just paraphrasing what she shared. And it suddenly dawned on her that she didn't really have a very good reason to say why she was living. And it was like, look, if you die now, you just die. Everybody moves on. Your children will move on. Your husband will move on. Until she began to find a reason to live. All this fear of death and everything left because she was going through a tough period at that time. And, and thank you, Sister Ope, for sharing that with us, because when you shared it, wow, it touched me, blessed a lot of people. So don't be afraid of death. Dying at a young age, you are going nowhere until you fulfill your purpose on this earth. I shall live, I shall not die, to declare the glory of the Lord. Listen, like Sarah shared before, destinies are tied to you fulfilling your purpose. Unless you don't want to fulfill God's purpose, unless you don't have a reason for living. So sad got news again, you know, someone, I don't know the person directly, but indirectly, another young man committing suicide because, you know, the business venture that went into collapsed. Listen, life is beyond, Jesus said it, material possessions. That's not where you are living. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You are not living because you want to do business, be the best businessman. You are not living because you want to build a mansion, you want to build an estate, you want to make a lot of money. That's not your purpose. Your purpose in life is to fulfill the reason why God made you. It's beyond material things. You are on this in this life to be a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and I'm tying people's blessings to your blessing. It's a destiny. You have a life to fulfill. Until you fulfill your God-given destiny, you are going nowhere. Tell yourself that. If you don't know what it is, that's what we're talking about. Be open about it. Lord, I don't know where I'm alive. I don't know my purpose in life. I prayed that prayer for several years. I'm happy today. I'm living the best of my life. Now, I'm telling you, because I just realized I love being a blessing. Anywhere I can be a blessing to people. So don't be afraid. Confront that fear. Thank you for being open with it. Somebody said, how do I overcome the fear of me failing my course in university because I think I'm not capable in studying wise? Same principle. You've spoken it out. You've confronted it. Yeah, you've shared it. Now, what is the truth about you failing? I will share my own truth with you. I realized the Holy Spirit is my teacher. The Holy Spirit knows that course. The Holy Spirit knows that course. He knows what you're studying and understands what you're studying. I've shared my story many times when I'm in situations like this and I'm afraid because I don't think I'm studying well or I don't even know the course. It's a difficult topic. It's a difficult subject. I remember Jesus said the Holy Spirit knows all things. He will guide me to all truth. He will teach me all things. I just say, Holy Spirit, I don't know this course. I'm afraid. Please teach me. Guide me. Try it. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Talk to God. You've come out in the open, and I'm telling you, speak to that course. You will. No, you don't know how to study. The Holy Spirit knows how to study. Tell the Holy Spirit to help you, guide you on how to study. Listen, studying, I'm a teacher, professional teacher, qualified. And I'm telling you that the real problem with different category of people, I meet a lot of students who tell me they are not intelligent. I say it's not true. I meet a lot of students who I don't have retentive memory. I don't know how to, you know, I forget things easily. I said that also is not true. So ask me, what is the truth? The truth is you have to figure out what helps you to recount things, to remember things. If you are trying to remember things the way somebody with a photographic memory does, when you don't have, you're going to struggle. You know, you compare yourself, oh, this person, once they see something, that's it. We all have different learning styles, different ways we recount things from memory. You are not stupid. God does not create stupid things. I meet people now, it's because a teacher told them. And I tell them, who lied to you? Oh, they told us we're not intelligent. They told us we're the lower set. I said, who lied to you? Who lied to you? You need to just find out the best way. A good teacher will look at a student and find help them to discover the best way they learn. Mm-hmm. Some of us learn. We are visual. You see, that's it. You remember it. Some of us were auditory. We hear it, we remember it. Some of us were kinesthetic. We have to see it, hear it, and then we put it to practice. What we do, we remember. I am a kinesthetic learner, for example. Once I do it once, that's it. Have you met people? They go to a place for the first time, that's it, they remember the road. I'm not like that. Or some people, just describe it to them. The power of their imagination, they will get the way and they will remember. I'm not like that. I don't want to be like that. I am unique. So are you. Find out how you learn. How do I remember? I keep going there. I drive there, and I drive there. I go back, I come back, I go back. I am not dumb. It doesn't make intelligent. I mean, it's just the way I recount things from memory. But in school, everybody's taught, oh, 9 times 1, 9, 9 times 2, 18, 9 times 3, 27, 9 times, you see, I can't even say it now, but not everybody learns like that. Don't accept anybody. I mean, I'm talking to some parents right now. Teachers telling you your child is not intelligent. Find out how your child learns and can recount things from memory. Everybody is unique. Listen, you will pass that course as the Holy Spirit to teach you how to study. Okay? Any other questions? How do I bounce back from failure? Yeah, we have discussed this over and over in the course of this. Find out why you failed. It's a question as simple as it is profound that most of us don't do. We fail and we just, oh, I failed. And that's all we talk about. Did you find out why you failed? Did you ask yourself sincerely, why did I fail? That's one. If you find out how and why you failed, it's a very good place to start from. Then get to learn the truth. Let me use an example that's coming to me right now, and I'm sure my wife has shared it before, actually. So, you know, there was this assessment, you know, she was doing, and she was struggling with the assessment. So, I was encouraging her, come on, do it again. She did it again, you know, and then one night like that, she just did it, and wow. She didn't pull through again. So I came out, I said, okay, you know what? Let's do the assessment. Let's try another one. We both did it, and we failed it. Both of us, you know, me the encourager, and she the encouragee. We failed. And I said, come on. Okay, what's this thing called? We found out what it was. I said, you know what? Let's try and find, it seems like there's a technique to answer this assessment. We went and found out the truth of the assessment, how to do the assessment, what they are looking for. Both of us went through it. I said, all right, let's do it now. You know what? Bang. Passed. Why did we fail? We found out why we failed. How did we fail? We found out how we failed. We went to find out the truth. Confronted. That's how to bounce back. Failure is part of life. We've learned that. So don't, because you fail, think that's the end. Come on. Everybody fails. Everybody. You started failing right from when you were a child, trying to stand up to walk. You failed. But did you not bounce back? You can bounce back. Become childlike. Bounce back. Okay? Thank you. Somebody's making a declaration. You shall not die. You shall live to fulfill what the Lord has predestined for you in the name of Jesus. Let that person who has that fear receive that word. Thank you, Toby Famu. I strongly believe fear is also felt by the kind of people, that's right, we surround ourselves with, and people we allow to speak into situations of our life. Exactly. We have confidence. We have constituents. We have comrades. The confidants are the people you surround yourself with, people you can open yourself to, pray with you, cheer you up. They are your strongest cheer. When you fall, they fall with you. When you rise, they rise with you. So watch the people you surround yourself with. Jesus had many disciples. Jesus went from many, he chose 12. You know, there were 70, then he chose 12. That he would be with him. He showed them everything he was doing. And then out of that 12, there were 3 that he still had, that he manifested himself to. And when you see when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane, those were the 3 that followed him and told them, oh, I'm exceedingly fearful. Pray for me. Stand with me. So watch the people you surround yourself with. The Bible says, anybody who wants to be wise will walk with wise men. You know, we shared this before. You're a single person, you want to get married, and you're always hanging around single people talking about other people's marriages. You are not ready to learn. You're not ready to marry. You're taking counsel from single people who are just reading books. They've not had experiential knowledge. Walk with married people, real people who are not pretending to you. Not the husband and wife who are wearing the same clothes, but they are not talking to each other. And they will not tell you their challenges. They just make you believe it's, you know, yeah, it's just cool. Everything's just nice. They are holding hands when you are there. They are slapping each other when you're not. You know, God forbid. But just get the gist. Anybody who wants to be wise will surround themselves with wise people. Look for people who are not on the, like, the same level. When I say same level, look for people that are where you want to go, or they have been through what you want to go, where you want to go. Okay? All right. Any other quickly so that we round up tonight? I'm afraid I will fail in something very important, earthly-wise, because I'm afraid that I will fail and that the fear will actually lead me to fail. Same principle we've been talking about. You've come out with it. You've said it. Find out the truth about it. Find out about the truth about something very, what's that very important thing? Can I tell you the truth? Some things we think are very important are the least important. It's called priorities. There are some things we actually prioritize that the Word of God does not prioritize. For example, I just shared the sad story. Got a text. This young man killed himself because he failed in the business and ended it. To such, you know, not trying to say anything funny and, you know, so sad, you know, throwing a lot of people now into mourning, his family, his wife, his children, his associates, everybody. But, you know, somebody now sent something. Now he's killed himself. The businesses and everything that he jointly opened with someone, they did. They only just put a condolence out there and everybody continued with their life. Life will move on with or without you. You will be shocked at the way people will move on. So when you think people are, for example, I'm just using that as an example, oh, you don't want to look bad before people and all that, that should be the least of your worries. Your concern is you want to please God. Top priority. And I want to be found doing what God wants me, has called me to do, irrespective of what people think. And if I fail, like Esther said, if I fail, I fail. If I perish, I perish. I don't care. I'm not saying be careless, but be carefree. Don't let people kill you. Saul, the king, lost his throne because of people. People made him lose that throne. Oh, Samuel has not come. I need to offer the sacrifice. People are getting agitated. He went. God gave instruction, kill all the Amalekites. He went, spared. Why? Oh, people. List. So, ask the Holy Spirit to actually show you what's very important, what's urgent, what's important, and what is not. Let's not live our lives pleasing people, because that's usually one of the things that helps, that makes us misprioritize things in life. I want to live my life to please God. I want to live my life. I cannot love people if I don't love God. And guess who's next after God? Me. Then I can love you as I love me. Big, massive, you know, truth that set me free. From 2018, 2019, I started learning I cannot love people more than I love me. And I can really love me when I have the love of God in my heart. It starts with me. It starts with God in me, through me, to others. Suicide is never the answer. The answer is always in the Word of God. There's so much that you can bounce back and achieve when you fall, when a business fails, when, listen, it's always people. I can't face people. Please, in the name of Jesus, be delivered from the fear of men. Be delivered from the fear of people through this word you heard tonight, in the name of Jesus. All right, let's go. So every fear that people are expressing here, I'm afraid somebody say I'm being led by emotions in my consideration of a married partner. You've said it all. You've confronted it. You are open with it. Apply the same principle. Should I be led by emotions when I'm considering a married partner? What does the Word of God say about the choice of a married partner? Go to the first marriage in the Bible. That set me free from anything. You know, since this person has brought this up, let me just quickly tie it up. Because of our time, we should actually be done tonight. But go back and listen to this word. It's not a one of people. Let me just quickly say this. When you hear the word, it's blessed you, go back and listen to it again. Don't say, yeah, I've heard it, I know it. I was there when it was preached 2 Sundays ago. Go and listen to it again. Again and again. But more importantly, take the word of God. Take the scriptures you've heard. Meditate day and night. That's what God was telling Joshua. Day and night. Just put this word on your heart. Put it on your lips. Keep saying it. Keep speaking it. Keep looking at it. Keep gazing at it. Keep muttering. Put it right there. So what did God say about marriage? Look at the first marriage. You know, I read something about that Genesis, the first marriage. It was God who went to the man. You need a wife. So it wasn't the man who went to God. I need a wife. So nothing about emotions here. And God was telling him why he needed a wife. I've called you to do this. I've called you to be fruitful. I've called you to multiply. I've called you to replenish the earth. And I want to help you to achieve it. But I can't come down from heaven. I'm just paraphrasing some things, my understanding now. So you need on this earth someone who is suitable to help you. I will create that suitable person for you. God brought animals. None was found suitable. God now, you see, let me tell you what I saw. That man, Adam, was not just male. He was male and female in one. And when you are male and female in one, you are complete. So the only way that you can make something complete, incomplete, that is complete, something complete, incomplete, is taken out of it. When you take out of it and you bring it back, it completes it. So that's where male was separated from the female. The female was taken out and the female was brought back to complete the man. Nothing to do with emotions, people, at first. Nothing to do with emotions. It's got to do with purpose. So when you want to marry, think of purpose. The purpose of marriage, help suitable to make you and make the person you're marrying fulfill what God created you for. It's not someone to turn your head, someone to make your heart skip a beat every time you see them, someone to make you grow from green to red to blue to blush. When they talk, your heart just palpitates. That's not marriage. Those are feelings. Those are emotions. They don't last. Go to honeymoon after your marriage. Dance all the dance you want to dance. You're coming back on this earth. You got work to do. Emotions don't solve nothing. Purpose is what we live for. So the Bible says when God took that woman out of the man, don't miss this, go and read it. And he closed the flesh. He closed the flesh. I got understanding. Wow. When the Bible talks about flesh, that's the carnal, that's the, you know, emotions and all that. Close the flesh. It's not emotions. It's purpose. So don't be led by emotions when you're considering someone suitable. Remember, the purpose of marriage is for you and the married partner to fulfill what God created you for. So it's not about the height, the weight. It's not about that. Listen, when you find someone suitable for you, you will find out that emotionally, are you getting me? Emotions can follow after, because then the emotions will come in and they will help you, but they must not come first. Because someone that is suitable for you, emotionally, you find out that there's a chemistry. There is a chemistry. Someone I can be open about my emotions with, you know, like I'm learning for the past almost 25 years with my wife, just to be open with my emotions. This is where I'm feeling, without fear, without trying to appear macho. But I wasn't led by emotions in my own choice. I learned that through the Word of God. God bless you, people. Finally, fear I won't do great in life. Same principle. God does not create stupid things. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Glory. That's it. You will do great in life. Just look at the Word of God. Glory be to God. Thank you. Tonight we have really overshot. I will just say, God has spoken once, twice have I heard. All power belongs to God. You shall not fail, you shall not falter. If you fail, if you falter, you will rise again. It is written, a just man falls 7 times and rises again. If you are falling, you will rise. Your marriage has collapsed. Listen, you will rise. Everything has gone downhill, you will rise. It's not the end. It is not over. Step up. The word God gave us at the start of this year, Isaiah 6, arise and shine. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The Amplified says, arise from that place of emotional, I'm trying to see what how he puts it. Let me read it to us, and I close. Isaiah chapter 60, from the Amplified version. You know, it's not saying arise from the height. Oh, everything's going on fine. No, arise from spiritual. Let me just get it the way he puts it. Sorry. Arise from spiritual depression to a new life. Be radiant with the glory and brilliance of the Lord, for your light has come. The glory and brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you. That's where we get our daily declaration for those who fellowship in the local assembly, Liverpool Love Assembly. I rise today and I shine. The glory and the brilliance of the Lord upon me makes me to shine before nations. I create solutions. I solve problems. I don't run away from problems. I confront problems and create solutions. God bless you. Keep rising, keep shining. Be delivered from every fear. See you next week. Communion service, October. Stop and listen to God. That will be the thing. See you then on Sunday, October 2nd. God bless you. If you're in Liverpool, join us or online. Bye for now.